When you hear the word fellowship, what comes to mind? For most people, when we think of fellowship, we think of a fellowship Sunday, we think of food or meals, we think of church potlucks, we think of good coffee for those who are maybe a little snobbish among us who like that. But we have this idea that fellowship is primarily about gathering together and sharing a meal or sharing food. For other people, when they think of fellowship, they think of the idea of socializing, that we have a fellowship time, and that the fellowship time is about just getting together. Now, usually there's food involved there too, but generally the idea of fellowship is one that we've made this word, this Christian word, something that primarily revolves around food. But when we come to the New Testament, in fact, what we find is that this word, while it does involve food on occasion, when the Apostle Paul uses the word fellowship, which is the word koinonia, there is something far more profound that he is talking about. Paul will talk about how we do share a meal when we have fellowship, but it's the Lord's Supper. He'll say that in 1 Corinthians 10:16, that we partake in Christ. And that word partake, or to partner, or to fellowship with Christ, is this word koinonia. In Romans 15, Paul will talk about how it's this sharing of belongings. And in Acts 2, 42 through 47, we hear of the church having fellowship with one another. It's an act of sharing so that there was no needy person among them. When we think about the word fellowship, we've disconnected it from the very fundamental idea that the New Testament has, which is this idea that it is an integral part, actually, of our mission as the Church of Jesus Christ, and that we need to understand what is true fellowship. So I'm abbreviating my sermon this morning here because we've wanted to allow you to see what God is doing through our partnership with Bolivia, the Hector and the Bolivian churches there. And we want to this morning think about what then is this fellowship, what is true biblical fellowship. And from Philippians chapter 1, I want to take a look at two aspects of what it is that is driving us forward when we're talking about fellowship. And the first thing that I want us to see is that we need to be driven forward in partnership or fellowship by love. When Paul speaks to the Philippians here, he begins with a prayer. You see that in chapter 1, verses 3 and following. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Over and over, in just these two verses, verses 3 and 4, he is talking about all joy. He is talking about he's always, always in every prayer for you all. There's this great emphasis that Paul has in terms of what is his focus. But when we understand the letter of Philippians, and we just pause for a moment and we hear what Paul is speaking about, Paul's troubles and his difficulties are not in view. He will mention it in this passage in verses 7 and 8 that he's in chains, he's imprisoned. He is on his way to, he's probably in Rome at this point. He's been working towards getting a hearing and a trial so that he can make his case as a Roman citizen who has been wrongly treated. But he is advocating and moving to speak about what this partnership is about. It's not the injustice that Paul has been thinking about primarily, even though he has been treated wrongly. It's not his chains that is primarily on his mind. It's not the, even though he has reason to vent and he has reason to be lamenting and to be upset, what does Paul focus on? It's not his chains. It's not the injustice he's experienced. But it's his partnership in the gospel with these Philippians. And this word koinonia, this word fellowship that we often have, is what Paul will emphasize in verse 5, because of your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was moved to love this church deeply. He loved the Philippians, and we know from his experience that when he went to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. When he had gone to plant that church there, it had been after some great difficulties that he had already experienced. And when he had gone to Philippi, he had found some women who were down by the river who were working. And as he shared the gospel, this woman, this Gentile woman, this unbeliever, Lydia, who was a businesswoman really, she opened her heart to the gospel and she believed and she received what Paul said. And from that, she opened her home. And this began really a church culture in Philippi. That a woman who was so deeply impacted by the grace of God that had come to her, she became so generous because of the generosity that she had received. But she opened her heart and she opened her home. And as she opened her heart and she opened her home, Paul and his partners in ministry worked there, and they continued to bring the gospel. And this partnership had developed to such a great degree that Paul could say in verse 7 that he holds them all in his heart, that there is this deep abiding affection, this deep abiding love that he has for the Philippians deep in his heart. And when Paul says that he holds them in his heart, we're not just talking about mere emotions. We're not talking about, oh, you know, I feel so deeply, but rather that there was this resonance in both heart and mind, that Paul saw how gracious and good the Philippians were to him and he to them. And he was deeply moved in his relationship. This church had been a constant source of encouragement. You see, because this church was not just merely financial supporters of the Apostle Paul, though Paul will thank them in chapter 4, he'll praise God for them that they have he has received full payment and more, well supplied, receiving their gift from their messenger Epaphroditus. He'll tell us in chapter 4, verse 18, that he rejoices in their financial support. But what is grounding his great partnership with the Philippians is not money, but it's the gospel. And it's the love that they have for one another. One of the things I think that we have to learn in terms of what partnership means and what roots partnership, and too often in the West it's been rooted in money, is actually what roots us and grounds us in a partnership is actually gospel love. The reason that we're rooted in gospel love is that what binds us together, what knits our hearts together, what causes us to work together is not merely money. Money is important. There's no doubt about it. You saw the smile on Hector's face in receiving that generator and getting all of the equipment that he needs. He's so appreciative that he can go from part-time to full-time ministry. He can get seminary training, and in a large measure because all the things that we just take it for granted, but the money that we give, certainly he is grateful for money, but the thing that I heard over and over from our team that had gone to Bolivia is that now there was a deep affection, a deep love, that he recognized faces, that there was familiarity, and that familiarity meant a bond, a kinship, and so that he felt a connection. And just in the same way, as you heard Armin testify, just the joy that he had in going back again, there is something that happens in us, this sense of a deep love that we feel for the ministry there. That yes, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, but most certainly, Paul could say, I hold you dear in my heart. I hold you in my heart. Because partnership, what koinonia is this deep abiding connection because of gospel love. That we share in common the great grace that has been given to us. We need to get past this notion in the West that our primary role and responsibility is sending money to nationals so that they could serve more effectively, and understand that money is just one part. It's a small part. It's a key part. But it's also got to be rooted in this deep and profound love. A deep and profound love for those for whom we support. And that as we support them, as we give to them, not only of money, but of our lives as well, that what we find is that what drives us and what binds us and what causes partnership is deep, abiding love. Paul can speak of the great love that he has for the Philippians, not merely because of financial support, not because of care, but because of Jesus Christ who binds their hearts together. So we want love to drive our partnerships. That's the first thing that we want. But the second thing is that we want grace to drive our partnerships as well. Paul will spell this out really in verses 5 and following. He'll talk about their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and that he's confident or sure of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers, there's that word again, you have this fellowship with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you hear? It's not just affectionate language that Paul has, but he has this language of, we have a partnership that's rooted in something far more profound and far more deep than just money, more than just the supplying of what's needed. That while the Philippians had been so generous to Paul, Paul would speak about koinonia, this idea of this fellowship or this partnership or this partaking together. And it was this sense of mutuality, something that I think often lacks in our sense of what mission is. But too often, missions has been focused upon what we can do for those poor, needy people over there, when we fail to appreciate that we are just as poor and needy, but maybe in a way that we have not recognized. That Paul found that there was a mutual benefit in this relationship. That just as he had gone and he had presented the gospel in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, what we find is that while he had presented the gospel, what happened was that the gospel began to bear good fruit in the Philippians as well as in him. Paul would unpack what this partaking or grace that was driving their partnership, what it would look like. He would describe it in chapter 2. And when he would describe it in chapter 2, he would describe how the gospel of grace was really this gospel of Jesus Christ, who had lived, who had died, who had been raised to life and exalted at the right hand of God, and all that God had done to confront Paul in his own self-righteousness that he would describe in chapter 3. That he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, born of the tribe of Benjamin. That he was a trained Pharisee, and he was well skilled in understanding the law. But all these things that Paul saw as gain, in light of Christ, he counted them as loss. And as a great loss in comparing to the knowledge that he had in Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, this microphone is doing funny things on me here this morning. And as he considered this partnership in terms of what the gospel was doing, what Paul wanted to emphasize was that as they partnered together, that he could see how the gospel was rooting them and grounding them in this deep love. And so Paul would unpack the gospel of God's grace. And as this gospel of grace was working, it created an other-centered relationship. So Paul would speak in terms of, this is going to drive me nuts. It's going to drive you nuts too, isn't it? So Paul would speak of the other-centered relationship. Sometimes it feels like you're getting dressed in front of people when you're working with a microphone. I'm sorry. Can I just use the handheld? Okay, well, no, let's just keep trying like this, sorry. I'll try not to move my head too much, how about that? Okay, so where were we? It creates an other-centeredness. When Paul would focus on this other-centeredness, he would communicate how what grace does is it takes the eyes off of ourselves and it puts our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And as a result of that, what grace does is it brings us and bonds us together. And as it bonds us together, Paul would say that this great grace that God had given, what it had done, is that if there was any joy in the Spirit, any fellowship, any compassion and kindness, then make his joy complete by being like-minded and of having the same love. That we would not be self-centered, but that we would be other-centered. And this other-centered nature of the gospel, this other-centered nature of the partnership of grace, would pull the church together. And there are these mutual benefits then that come about when we are partners together in the gospel. What happens when we are partnering together is that it's not primarily about the return on investment, the ROI that I get out of this partnership. It's not about how I benefit or are we getting maximum benefit from what they are getting, but rather there is mutual benefit. In fact, the Philippians, they would immediately see the benefit that they had received, and Paul could speak of this, that he could give thanks to God for the grace that was at work in them when they had heard the gospel, when they had believed, when they had trusted. And it was to pull them together as a church and as a congregation so that they would not be in conflict, and he would appeal to the church so that they would not be in conflict with one another. But rather, what they would find is that the gospel would be bringing them together in mutuality. But just as they were partnering with Paul, Paul could speak about he had received benefit from them. He had received the benefit first of the financial gifts that the Philippians had given to them. The gifts that they had extended to him over and over and over. And as a result of that financial blessing and that financial gift, what Paul was able to do then was able to focus on the ministry of going to the ends of the earth with the good news of Jesus Christ. Their gift had enabled his ministry to carry on with great effectiveness. So Paul can speak about how God supplies all his needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus in glory. But it was through the partnership, the fellowship, the koinonia that he had with the Philippians that knit his heart with them and enabled him to do more ministry. But the Philippians saw that because they loved Paul and Paul loved them, that what their ministry was rooted in was more than just a one-way gift of money and a message from Paul. They saw that there was this mutuality in terms of their partnership so that they would extend grace by providing care for Paul when he was in need. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 25, when Paul talks about the need that he faces, he describes how he was going to send back to them this messenger, Epaphroditus. And he says to the Philippians in 2:25, I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Now Epaphroditus had gone to assist Paul in Paul's need. And so here's the thing about how the ministry was working. It's that Paul came to the Philippians, but the Philippians also went to Paul. It wasn't just a one-way relationship. It was a mutuality. So that Epaphroditus, this Paul calls him in verse 25, your messenger. In other words, he's come from the Philippian church. He's a member of the Philippian church. He's a person who then has this deep connection not only to Philippi, but also to Paul. So that Paul sees him as a fellow worker. And there is a sense in which when we only treat missions as a one-way relationship, as though we have everything to give and we forget that the benefit also comes back to us, then we define the relationship of mission in one that is not rooted in grace, but in terms of one that isn't actually rooted in self-righteous superiority. I can't help but remember growing up in my home church and the partnership that we had in Indonesia. And it was a good partnership that we had had and sent people there and we had partnered there and the gospel had gone forth in Indonesia. But what struck me was, as an 18-year-old, seeing two Indonesians come from Indonesia to my hometown in Thunder Bay, and to hear of their thankfulness and their support and their encouragement to us. And it did something in our church. You see, we have this tremendous benefit and blessing that we're getting to hear all these things, that we send money down to Hector and we're seeing and hearing good things. But church, do you realize that what we're a part of is something far bigger than ourselves? That we're part of a church planting movement? There are churches being planted because of our partnership in the gospel with Hector. And what might it look like if we had a sense of the mutuality of partnership in the gospel? What might that mean for us here in Ilderton? It's wonderful, praise God, that churches are being planted in the Andy Mountains in Bolivia. More churches need to be planted. More radios need to be distributed. More people need their Quechuan language preserved through the gospel being presented in their language and it being sustained and held on to. But we need them. Because I think that what we need from them is a sense of the urgency and motivation to continue to plant churches here. We need their encouragement to us. Just as much as we can give resources, they can give us that gospel motivation and gospel urgency. And for Paul, there was this sense of mutuality with the Philippians. That this is what partnership ends up looking like. That partnership isn't just one way. It's a mutual thing. As we hear from our missions team, as we've seen the videos, I hope that you're not just encouraged about what's going on in Bolivia, but what God is doing among us. And we ought to pray that more would be done among us. And not just think that God's working over there, but that God can and is going to work here. Paul would labor most of his life in hardships and difficulties and persecutions with a lack of resources, but he would always find that when his connection with the churches came back up, he could say, I give thanks for every remembrance of you, upon every prayer for all of you. That he had this overwhelming sense, and that he could speak of how beneficial the partnership of the gospel was with them. And we read verse 6 like it just applies to me. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you would carry it unto completion in the day of Christ Jesus. But that you that Paul is speaking about there is you plural. Paul is confident of this, that the God who began a work in the Philippian church will carry it on to completion in the Philippian church. Yes, it's true that just as God begins a work in you individually, and he's going to carry you all the way to heaven, so it's true that just as God has begun a good work in the Philippian church, so God has begun a good work in the church in Ilderton here. And he's going to carry that on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And part of that is that what God is doing in us, and part of the work that needs to be completed, are more churches planted, more efforts of gospel ambition, not just over there. That over there needs to motivate us here. That over there needs to remind us that the gospel is going forward there, but it needs to go forward here. That we have a partnership. And we can be confident because we have a God who is working for us. So what might it look like if we stopped thinking about mission as one way and started to think about it in a biblical fashion in terms of koinonia, partnership? What might God be pleased to do here in the same way as he's doing there? So let's pray. Lord, you're fighting our battles for us, and as you fight our battles for us, we are confident that every knee will bow before you. You are our God. You are our ruler, our king. And we can be rejoicing that we're part of a church planting movement in Bolivia. Now, Lord, would you cause us to be part of that same kind of mentality and movement here? That we would see more gospel preaching churches, more faithful biblical churches here. You're doing a work, Lord. And while there are hundreds of churches across this country that are not preaching the gospel, they're no longer true churches, we want to be a part of that revitalization and renewal and planting of churches here. Lord, we need a bigger vision of what you are doing, that we would move outside of ourselves, that we are thankful to go to Bolivia, and now would you send us out from this place into our community around us, so that more might hear and believe and know in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are partakers of your grace together, that you have shown us kindness and favor. And the work that you have begun here, would you carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus? Would you keep this church faithful, Lord Jesus, until you come again? That we would not move one iota from the gospel of grace that we have received, and that we would be stronger and more faithful in this message. And we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.